Part 4. Part 4 consists of two tasks. You will hear five short extracts in which people are talking about workaholism. For questions 21 to 25, choose from the list 8H, the person who is speaking. Now look at task 2. For questions 26 to 30, choose from the list 8H what each speaker is expressing. While you listen, you must complete both tasks. Speaker 1. The word workaholic implies we're addicted to work in the way that alcoholics are addicted to drink, that we are out of control. And I see no evidence anywhere to suggest that there has been an increase in actual addiction to work. I'm out and about, and work strange hours depending on what's happening in the world, on a particular day. In today's labour market of flexi-time and remote working, we probably work fewer hours overall, and the people who are working too hard are not the poor masses. They are the corporate lawyers in air-conditioned offices, the senior people who manage their own working hours. Most of them are not paid overtime, so the obvious conclusion is that they are working because they're committed to what they're doing. It's not something that's going to be solved by governments or regulations. Predominantly, it's an internal conflict. I really want to be good at my job, and I enjoy presenting the facts in an honest and unbiased way. That involves a lot of research and a lot of time out at events and incidents. But I also want to go home and spend time with my kids. Speaker 2.
I worked for years with companies such as Saatchi, and I'd regularly be up at 5 a.m. I did it because I was passionate about my work and commanding good money, and that's a heady thing to resist. I prided myself on my creativity and the fact that my work directly increased the turnover and status of the companies I promoted. I had a sleeping bag under my desk at work, and eventually when my wife threw me out, I lived in the storeroom. One day my brain just went bang. I came home from work and it was as if my whole body had shut down. I had to create some boundaries to safeguard my home life, creativity and sanity. Today I have my own business. I do the same thing as I did before, but I'm usually home by 6:30 p.m. and with the kids at weekends. The key has been working less and more intuitively. Workaholism is not about putting in the necessary hours. It's about not being able to make up your mind. It's lack of clarity, hedging bets, staying late and going with 60 options instead of one right one.
Speaker 3.
My stresses are not the stresses of a managing director in the city, but they are financial and physical. Stooping down, straining my back, carrying heavy equipment every day. You have to make a lot of sacrifices just to survive in a city like London. The cost of living is very high, and it's hard to find work. I would like to work as an administrator or a translator, but because I have bills to pay, I do a manual, boring job. Because I know I can rely on the work. I work probably 45 hours a week to be able to afford my lifestyle, which is a room in a shared household with many other people. I'm not complaining. It's okay. It is honest work and it keeps me fit. But it is not necessarily what I imagined myself doing at 38. Maybe a managing director lives to work, but I'm working to live. If he is a workaholic, it's because he loves his job. That is a privilege and a luxury. If he works too much, it is out of choice. If I work too much, it is out of necessity.
Speaker 4.
I love my job. I'm a conscientious worker. I spend most of my time working and my mind is always full of work. Mentally, you're always on duty with this kind of work. I believe we all have a need to be a functioning part of society, And strange as it sounds, just having to pay my taxes makes me feel as though I'm contributing to society. As a nation, our identities are bound up with our jobs. In my job, there's an element of danger, and so there has to be discipline and order. But it also defines who I am. The first question people ask each other is, what do you do? But there's a line between a committed, contributing and conscientious worker and somebody who really doesn't know when to put his pen down and go home. If workaholism's on the rise, then that's a sad symptom of modern life. These are people who don't watch their children grow up because they're too busy playing golf for the boss. Sadly, they're also the ones who seem to die within 2 or 3 years of retiring.
Speaker 5.
I have brought my workaholic attitude over with me. I'm in the office at the crack of dawn until early evening, dealing with branches all over the world. I haven't seen any worrying evidence of workaholism here. People here take their work-life balance pretty seriously. They are religious about their weekends. You get 27 days holiday here and feel an obligation to take all 27. In the U.S., in my field, no one ever took all 20 holiday days. After all, the world of finance never really stops for a break. I also find the Brits mix work and socializing to a far greater extent than we do in the States. Here you can't get going on a Monday morning unless you first ask about people's weekends. Americans tend not to engage in that kind of nicety. There is something to be said for civility, but at times it can get in the way of progress.
Now you'll hear part 4 again. Speaker 1. The word workaholic implies we're addicted to work in the way that alcoholics are addicted to drink, that we are out of control. And I see no evidence anywhere to suggest that there has been an increase in actual addiction to work. I'm out and about and work strange hours depending on what's happening in the world on a particular day. In today's labour market of flexi-time and remote working, we probably work fewer hours overall. And the people who are working too hard are not the poor masses. They are the corporate lawyers in air-conditioned offices, the senior people who manage their own working hours. Most of them are not paid overtime, so the obvious conclusion is that they are working because they're committed to what they're doing. It's not something that's going to be solved by governments or regulations. Predominantly, it's an internal conflict. I really want to be good at my job, and I enjoy presenting the facts in an honest and unbiased way. That involves a lot of research and a lot of time out at events and incidents. But I also want to go home and spend time with my kids. Speaker 2.
I worked for years with companies such as Saatchi, and I'd regularly be up at 5 a.m. I did it because I was passionate about my work and commanding good money, and that's a heady thing to resist. I prided myself on my creativity and the fact that my work directly increased the turnover and status of the companies I promoted. I had a sleeping bag under my desk at work, and eventually when my wife threw me out, I lived in the storeroom. One day my brain just went bang. I came home from work and it was as if my whole body had shut down. I had to create some boundaries to safeguard my home life, creativity and sanity. Today I have my own business. I do the same thing as I did before, but I'm usually home by 6:30 p.m. and with the kids at weekends. The key has been working less and more intuitively. Workaholism is not about putting in the necessary hours. It's about not being able to make up your mind. It's lack of clarity, hedging bets, staying late and going with 60 options instead of one right one.
Speaker 3.
My stresses are not the stresses of a managing director in the city, but they are financial and physical. Stooping down, straining my back, carrying heavy equipment every day. You have to make a lot of sacrifices just to survive in a city like London. The cost of living is very high, and it's hard to find work. I would like to work as an administrator or a translator, but because I have bills to pay, I do a manual, boring job, because I know I can rely on the work. I work probably 45 hours a week to be able to afford my lifestyle, which is a room in a shared household with many other people. I'm not complaining. It's okay. It is honest work and it keeps me fit. But it is not necessarily what I imagined myself doing at 38. Maybe a managing director lives to work, but I'm working to live. If he is a workaholic, it's because he loves his job. That is a privilege and a luxury. If he works too much, it is out of choice. If I work too much, it is out of necessity.
Speaker 4.
I love my job. I'm a conscientious worker. I spend most of my time working and my mind is always full of work. Mentally, you're always on duty with this kind of work. I believe we all have a need to be a functioning part of society. And strange as it sounds, just having to pay my taxes makes me feel as though I'm contributing to society. As a nation, our identities are bound up with our jobs. In my job, there's an element of danger, and so there has to be discipline and order, but it also defines who I am. The first question people ask each other is, what do you do? But there's a line between a committed, contributing and conscientious worker and somebody who really doesn't know when to put his pen down and go home. If workaholism's on the rise, then that's a sad symptom of modern life. These are people who don't watch their children grow up because they're too busy playing golf with the boss. Sadly, they're also the ones who seem to die within 2 or 3 years of retiring.
Speaker 5.
I have brought my workaholic attitude over with me. I'm in the office at the crack of dawn until early evening, dealing with branches all over the world. I haven't seen any worrying evidence of workaholism here. People here take their work-life balance pretty seriously. They are religious about their weekends. You get 27 days holiday here and feel an obligation to take all 27. In the U.S., in my field, no one ever took all 20 holiday days. After all, the world of finance never really stops for a break. I also find the Brits mix work and socializing to a far greater extent than we do in the States. Here you can't get going on a Monday morning unless you first ask about people's weekends. Americans tend not to engage in that kind of nicety. There is something to be said for civility, but at times it can get in the way of progress.
That's the end of part 4.